for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. This is our first lesson for today, this second Sunday in Advent. Dear friends in Christ, you've been waiting a long time for this day to come. You've been dreaming about it ever since you were a little girl. And you met the perfect man in your eyes, and now it's finally here, your wedding day. Now, all invitations have been sent. You hired a caterer and a photographer. You got a place to have a reception and hired a DJ, a flowerist. A lot of time and effort and money went into planning this day, and now everyone is here. They flew in for the occasion. They got a hotel room. And now the day is finally here. And then, right when the service is about to begin, somehow, we're not going to get into it, somehow you spill a red drink all over your wedding dress. The people of Israel waited a long time too. In fact, all of God's children waited and waited. Ever since the beginning of the world, or close to it, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, the people waited for a Savior. God promised Adam and Eve that one of their descendants would come and crush Satan's head on their behalf. So the people waited for God's promise to be fulfilled. Over time, God would give more prophecies, fill in some more blanks for those Israelites. And for instance, he told Abraham that from his line, all nations on earth would be blessed. From Abraham, one of his descendants would be the Savior. Abraham came and went, and still God's people waited. As did Isaac and Jacob and Moses. God saved the people from slavery in Egypt and led them to the promised land, and still the people waited. David and Solomon, Isaiah, they all came and went and the people waited. God took the people, sent the people in exile to Babylon and then back again. And still the people waited. Now we have the benefit of the full revelation of God. Now we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promised Savior. But the Old Testament people didn't have such a benefit. They were left in the dark, so to speak. They looked for someone to fulfill this prophecy, but they didn't know when it was going to happen. They didn't know who it was going to be or how he was going to fulfill all of these prophecies that God had given throughout the ages. They were saved through faith in the promised Messiah, whoever it would be, whenever he would come. But the people waited. And why they waited, they complained. How come God isn't watching over us? How come God isn't keeping His promises and fulfilling His promise to send this promised Messiah, to send us this Savior? They looked at the world around them and they asked, how come it seems as if the wicked prosper? If those who do evil seem to be getting away with it, well, we who are righteous don't seem to be being blessed by you, God. How come you have it against us? How come you're not watching over us and taking care of us? The book of Malachi was the last book written in the Old Testament. Malachi lived about 1,000 years after Moses led the people out of Egypt. Now this time, the Israelites had gone into exile in Babylon and come back about 100 years before Malachi wrote. Now, after they returned from exile, there was a religious revival for a while. Well, that had now dwindled. The people again started complaining and whining about God and how he didn't keep his promises to guard them and protecting them. So God spoke to the prophet Malachi, so that he could encourage and remind the people that he was still indeed with his people, and that he was still going to send the promised Messiah. Now he prophesies in verse 1, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. when this Savior, when this promised Messiah would finally come, he wouldn't be alone. There's going to be someone who would prepare the way to be the forerunner of Christ. Now in this prophecy, Malachi borrows wording from Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 40, who was written a couple centuries before Malachi. There in Isaiah 40, he says about the forerunner of Christ, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. For over 400 years after Malachi's last prophecy about the forerunner of the Messiah and the Messiah himself, no word of God came. The Lord was silent. Did not speak to the people. Did not speak through his prophets. Nothing. Until one day, when a priest by the name of Zechariah was in the holy place of the temple, offering up prayers and incense of the altar of incense, and God sent his angel Gabriel to Zechariah. The first time God had sent someone to talk to anyone for over 400 years. And he said that you and your wife, Elizabeth, despite your old age, are going to give birth to a son. You're going to call him John. He will have the Spirit of the Lord on him and do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, and he will prepare the way for the Lord, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah and Malachi. So today, in our gospel, we see a grown-up John. We call him John the Baptist, more literally, John the Baptizer, fulfilling the words of Isaiah and Malachi, as he prepared the hearts and minds for the people, as he was the forerunner of the Messiah, chosen by God, fulfilling that prophecy from over 400 years ago. But as we read our prophecy from Malachi, we see it's not just about John the Baptist. No, when Malachi looked into the future, he saw not just John the Baptist coming, but at the same time, the promised Messiah coming. And as we know, Jesus and John the Baptist were born just a few months apart. No, when the forerunner came, so did Jesus. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. The messenger of the Lord, who comes into his temple, into the Lord's temple, is none other than the Lord himself, is none other than Jesus, the Son of God himself. He comes down to this earth as the messenger of the covenant. No, covenant means agreement. Messenger, the one who brings this new covenant. The new covenant is the new agreement that God had made with us, this one-sided agreement that we don't do anything to be saved, including keeping the laws of Moses, because Christ has kept the law perfectly for us. Because Christ suffered and took away the guilt of all our sins, we stand forgiven and will live in heaven with him through faith. That's the new covenant. That's the new agreement that Jesus brings us. He is a messenger of the forgiveness of sins. For thousands of years, God's people had waited and waited, and with the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus, that day for the Israelites is finally come. Now, as the people of the Old Testament waited and waited for Christ's first coming, as we wait for Christmas this December, we wait like the Israelites did for Christ's second coming. And what does Malachi ask rhetorically about that day? Who can endure the Lord's coming? Who can stand on that great day? How can you stand before the Lord when he comes again? Well, on your own, you can't. You're too sinful. We just take a look at our lives. While we wait, we often sound like the Israelites, don't we? We often whine and complain to God that He isn't watching out for us, that He doesn't take care of us, that He isn't giving us what we want. You have hard financial times, maybe you get sick or problems with family members, and we wonder why God is always keeping us down. Why isn't God watching over us and protecting us like He says He's going to? Or you take a look at the world around you. You look at what happened in California or Paris a couple weeks ago, and you wonder how come the wicked seem to be always prospering? How come the wicked and those who do evil seem to get away with it, while we who are righteous seem to suffer more and more, that we get punished almost for doing what is good? We often sound like those Israelites who don't trust in the Lord and think as if He has forgotten us. No, we can't stand before the Lord. It's like on your wedding day. You waited and waited for it to come, and then you spill that drink all over your wedding dress, and there's no way, possible way, you can hide it. And you say to yourself, how can I stand in front of everyone looking like this? How can I stand before my husband like this? I just can't do it. But in reality, the stain on our souls, the stain on ourselves, is much worse and much more serious, much more noticeable than a simple stain on a wedding dress on your wedding day. Oh, our garments are stained with sin. It's imprinted on our souls. It's who we are. It's what we do. And there's nothing we can do to hide it. There's nothing we can do to cover it up. We can't get people's attention off of it. The Lord knows our sins. He knows all the secret sins that you've committed, all the sins that you thought no one else knew about. He knows the words you've muttered under your breath. He understands all your feelings and thoughts that were only known to you. He understands your sins more than you understand your sins. And every single sin you have committed is another blemish, another mark on yourself. It's not just a stain that's on you. Your whole garments, everything you are, is completely stained with sin. Your hands, your head. There's no hiding it before the Lord. You know it's there, and God knows it's there. You can't stand before the Lord like that. You can't endure His coming. And so you fall into despair and realize you have no hope in saving yourself. And that's why the people longed for the Messiah. That's why Christ came the first time. That's why He gave up the glories and riches of heaven to come down to this earth, to suffer and die, to remove the guilt of all our sins, and give us His perfect life. To make us holy and righteous in the eyes of the Lord, so that we no longer have that mark of sin, but we are covered in His holiness. Malachi uses two pictures to bring that thought along. The first is that of a refiner. And when you find gold or silver or some other precious metal in the earth, it's going to have impurities, different alloys, different metals inside of it. They have all sorts of different parts. So you start a fire and mix it with things to melt the particles and impurities away and separate the gold from the impure. And what comes out, hopefully, is 24 karat gold. That's what the Lord does for us. But even more so, 24 karat gold still isn't 100% pure. But when Jesus refines us, He removes all our impurities. He takes away all of our sins. By shedding His blood on the cross, He makes us completely pure and completely holy in the eyes of the Lord. As John says in his first letter, the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. is also a launderer's soap. Or to use a modern day analogy, you know, when you get a stain on a shirt, you might pre-treat it with some Schelt and put it into the washing machine with some sort of laundry detergent. And hopefully, when it comes out clean. The stain is gone. It's removed. That's what the Lord does for us. He washes us through the waters of baptism. We are stained with sin through and through, but we are cleansed and purified by the waters of baptism. We put on a nice clean robe of Christ's righteousness. Each and every time. And there's no chance. There's no chance that that stain is going to be left. Or you might see some resemblance of a stain because He completely removes our sin. Isaiah uses a similar picture in the first chapter of his book. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. When the Lord allows troubles and hardships and difficulties in our lives, He wants us to turn our hearts away from sin and human remedies. He wants us to squeeze out every inclination that is not His. And when we come to such a realization, when we come to such a despair that we cannot do anything, the Lord cleanses us and purifies us through His gospel as He refines our hearts with the comfort of His saving word. So by the word of the Lord, He makes our hearts pure. Acceptable in His sight. Now we're not acceptable on our own. We're stained with sin. But because of Christ, because of the promised Messiah, we can stand before Him. And He doesn't just make ourselves acceptable, but also everything we do. All our offerings, our words, our praise, are now acceptable before the Lord. All sacrifices, everything we do, all our offerings are worthless if the heart is also not, if the heart isn't pure. And as we said before, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Everything we do is tainted in sin. But through Christ, now everything we do is acceptable to the Lord. Our offerings now are stale, that were rotten because of our selfishness, because of our love for the things of this world, have been purified in Christ, and now they're acceptable. And more just than just acceptable, they are pleasing to the Lord. And the word used for pleasing there indicates something sweet. What was rotten before is now made sweet to God. That's us. Rotten, foul, stale. Now sweet. Everything we do for the Lord is now sweet in His eyes. Who can stand before the Lord? Who can endure His coming? Not us on our own. We're stained with sin. Everything we do is foul. But in the Lord, we have been purified. We have been cleansed. We are acceptable. And our offerings are sweet. And so we thank the Lord through our offerings, through our use of time and our talents. And we do so willingly and cheerfully because of who the Lord is and what the Messiah has done. You know, the people waited. And wait. Why? Because a Savior would come and purify them and make them clean. We look forward to Christmas in a few weeks for when we celebrate the time when the Savior did come. When the Savior did come and fulfill those prophecies of making us clean and purifying us. We stand pure and holy before the Lord. And so we look forward with that same expectation for His second coming. as we will wear our righteous robes, singing the praises of Him with all His holy saints forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.